Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Chris Whittingham, Ira Winderman here on 560 WQAM. We have built out our All Heat Hate team over the course of the show, and I'm getting some serious flack. One for not including Allen Houston, including too many Celtics, and no Roy Hibbert being on my 10-man team of players that went against the Heat that we hated while it was happening. But we're going to transition away from that and move now to the broader discourse of the NBA as we enter All-Star Weekend. Joining us now is NBA TV's Jared Greenberg. And Jared, appreciate the time.
Fellas, appreciate you having me on.
Thanks, Jared.
So which team, before you became a member of the NBA media, we're generally not supposed to acknowledge this, but which team did you root for before you got into the business, so to speak?
Well, I was one of five people on a nightly basis showing up in the swamps of the Meadowlands watching the New Jersey Nets.
Wow. Wow. That's brilliant. So were there any, do you have any vivid recollections of players that went against those very sparsely attended Nets teams that you really hated solely for what they did against that team?
Yeah, I would say Shaq mostly. I was there the night he broke the backboard.
Mm.
It was unbelievable.
Yeah.
I can't even imagine. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, all right. So, we've been out, and obviously the big three Heat factor so much into that. And that kind of was the precursor to a lot of what's happened now in the NBA with the player movement and the superstar movement. And the Anthony Davis thing kind of came to a head last night when he comes off injured. He's allowed to leave the arena, and now it's led to the firing of Dell Demps. It's just been reported by Adrian Wojnarowski that Danny Ferry is likely to take over as interim GM of the Pelicans now. That whole situation and how it's spiraled out of control, this is why players have leverage in when they make trade demands, is because it gets really ugly when it doesn't happen.
Yeah, I would say this though. I would not make a correlation between Anthony Davis not being traded and Dell Demps being fired. I think that this actually, for an organization that's had a bit of a chaotic situation with their ownership group since Tom Benson's passed, they actually made a really wise decision here in A, not training Anthony Davis, and B, moving on from Dell Demps. Now, I'm not promoting anybody getting fired, but my thought here is, look at what's happened in the NBA over the last couple of years, where the Knicks allowed Phil Jackson to draft Frank Ntilikina, days later fire him. The Timberwolves allowed Tom Thibodeau to trade Jimmy Butler, weeks later fire him. I don't want the man who I'm going to fire to make a franchise-changing decision like who they get in return for Anthony Davis. So I think they made a right move. They didn't need to make the trade. They have plenty of time now to think on it and get offers from every team in the NBA, and they see who can get creative, and now they'll move forward with new leadership.
Jared, when you look around the league, and especially with the thought that Anthony Davis might go to the Celtics, so they basically stayed in place at the trading deadline, but we saw all the other moves at the top of the East, Mirotic going to the Bucks, obviously Gasol going to the Raptors, Philadelphia bringing in the day before Tobias Harris. For years, it's always been, who are the Warriors going to beat in the NBA Finals and blah, blah, blah. You know, when LeBron will get there, there's no one else in the East. Is the Final Four in the East arguably now as strong as it's been in years and maybe even as strong as the Final Four in the West?
I would say it's stronger than the West. I think that this is what we've been building towards, and this is why Adam Silver in the league has said, pump the brakes on going to 1-16 because the East has been so bad. It's cyclical. It's going to come around. It's been a really long time. Now, listen, I wouldn't say that anybody is going to beat the Warriors, I don't think.
Mm-hmm.
But I also feel like the top teams that you would even consider to put in the conversation that have the best chance to challenge the Warriors are all in the Eastern Conference right now, whether it's Toronto, Boston, or Philadelphia. And I think absolutely, Ira, you know, you go 1-6 right now in the East, 1-5 in the East probably, is certainly way better than 1-5 in the West. The only difference is the West still has Golden State.
Well, I will say, though, in I guess to counter-argue that, 6 through 11 in the West, I mean, 6 through 11 in the East, I mean, 6 through 15, really, is just, to me, Brooklyn might have a decent shout based off of what they've done midseason, but I don't think any of those teams deserve to make the playoffs. I think once you get past 5 with Indiana, you know, I don't know if they're there now in the standings, but they eventually will be. But once you get past 5, I don't think any of those teams in the East deserve to make it.
Okay. There's no question. But again, you know, in this day and age, Are we thinking that a 6, 7, or 8 seed is going to, you know, go to the conference finals or certainly go to the NBA finals? The answer is no. I mean, I think, you know, what I was talking about here is, you know, the top of your conference is the most important part. And
right.
Outside of LeBron James over the last 8 years, we have laughed at the Eastern Conference,
mm-hmm.
right? So now that LeBron leaves, the East has not just gotten an open door because LeBron is out, but because teams have been working to get better, and now they see the window of an opportunity to go to the NBA Finals, and they're taking advantage of it. And that's what I think we have to commend teams on doing, because for so long, mm-hmm. I know I certainly have crushed teams for going into tank mode. Well, now teams are in the position where they want to win, and they've showed us over the last several weeks with some of these deals that they've made, they want to go for it, which is exciting as a basketball fan.
We're joined by Jerry Greenberg of NBA TV. Now, I will say the one thing, and I hate to be cantankerous during this interview, but I do wonder if, obviously, LeBron has publicly taken credit, and LeBron leaving certainly does open the door for a lot of teams to really go for it. But I really think that if this year we had an Eastern Conference playoffs that involved, let's just say Cleveland just brought the same team back, and if they played this Milwaukee team, this Toronto team, this Philly team, and this Boston team, I think any of those four teams might even be favored to beat LeBron's Cavaliers in a playoff series. And I think they're better than any of, you know, at least let's say the last Cleveland team that he went to the finals with. I think even if LeBron was still in the conference, these teams would be better. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, no doubt about it. Like it would actually be really fun if LeBron was still in Cleveland this year, because you'd have a realistic shot. And I mean, listen, you say what you want about Toronto. They're about at the same pace as they were last year with DeMar DeRozan, this year with Kawhi Leonard. But you get a LeBron versus Kawhi playoff series where they can go back and forth on each end of the court at each other. I'd love to see that. I'd feel much better about the Raptors against LeBron than I would with the Raptors against LeBron in the previous 8 years.
Jared, when you look at All-Star Weekend now, I call it the Tamper-a-thon, because all the players get to come together. I mean, there are so many impending free agents who are All-Stars this year. It's an incredible amount, not just Kawhi and Durant, but just so many guys there. I have a question for you, because I've been sort of trying to think this out in my mind's eye, which is better. Is it better to have one to get one? In other words, the Lakers have LeBron. He needs one more. They have a max spot. Dallas now has Porzingis. They need one more. They have or will create a max spot? Or are you better off being the Knicks, where you have two spots? So, hey, we're going to get our number one and have him bring his 1A. And even the Clippers could do that if they can unload that very good Heat 2021 unprotected pick and Gallinari. They'll have two spots. Which, if you were running a team, and when you look around the league, which is the better position to be in? To have a star and need one more, or to be like the teams now that have two open spots?
I think, without question, it's have one and go get one mm-hmm. more. I think we're in a very dangerous spot here. While this might be the most decorated and celebrated free agent class in the history of the NBA, with more than 200 guys coming available, and the number of marquee players is historically
right.
good, but there's still a cap at how many of them can change a franchise. I would put the marker at 6 on the low end, 8 on the very, very high end of guys
mm-hmm.
that can come in and truly help you get over the hump and win a championship. But there are more than 8 teams that need a player right now, and that will have a max cap space to pay those guys. So there will be teams who have been planning for 3 years to have this cap space
mm-hmm.
that will swing and miss and get absolutely nothing. Forget about overpaying plan B or plan C. They may get nothing. So what are you left with? And listen, I love teams that are making the right moves and putting them in position to be able to spend that money this summer, but cap space and draft picks have won a total of 0 games in the NBA. So I'd rather have a star on my team who has won games and is capable of winning games.
Well, then you have the perfect lead and segue to that is the New York Knicks and what they have. And they keep making promises that this is the right step and this is the right move. Personally, I thought Porzingis was the plus one to add one to. The Knicks didn't, because they screwed up that situation. Do you think the Knicks finally will be able to pull it off? Because, Jared, this reminds me of 2010, when Dwayne yep. said no, when LeBron said no, when Botch said no, welcome Amari Stoudemire. And then you had yep. the Bulls with their money, and everyone says no, and welcome Carlos Boozer. Do you think, and again, you hear all this. You hear about, well, Durant wants his own team. We certainly heard last summer that Kyrie and Durant wanted to play together. How credible that was. We didn't know. Then Kyrie committed to Boston. Mm-hmm. Then he sort of uncommitted to Boston a little bit.
Right.
Can New York pull this off, or do they not have the organizational structure that, yes, it's the garden, it's the absolute cathedral of basketball, but can the Knicks actually organizationally, from Dolan on down, do you think there's a chance it actually happens?
I think there's a chance, and I'll make the strong statement that if they don't, it's an absolute epic failure.
Mm-hmm.
It's monumentally bad that they couldn't, that they wouldn't call the bluff on Porzingis. Go try with the knee injuries and the other injuries he's had in his career to go accept a qualifying offer and be the first person in the history of the NBA not to accept a max rookie extension. I would have called his bluff on it.
Right.
But if they do have a plan, and as you talk about the tampering and they know exactly what they're getting and it's some combination of Durant and whoever, then it works. Then it was a brilliant decision. You know, the dysfunction in the New York Knicks front office is slightly different in that
right.
Scott Perry's there, who seems to be making a mm-hmm. lot of good decisions, and David Fizdale's there, who seems to be, like, as you guys know in Miami, a really good coach, especially
right.
for these younger players. But the questions that have been asked in New York City right now is, how can you develop a culture? How can you build towards something when you're consistently losing? And now they continue to lose at a historic rate. I think they're setting themselves up for failure, but if they do know something and they get... If it's Jimmy Butler and it's Kyrie Irving, I say it's a failure. It
mm-hmm.
needs to be, you know, a star that is a game changer, a star that has won a title, a star that's capable of leading a franchise. Like, Ira, you and I used to play this game all the time.
Right.
If you put LeBron on the Sixers 3 years ago, are the Sixers a playoff team? The answer was mm-hmm. always yes.
Yes.
We could never find a team that LeBron couldn't at the very least sneak into the eighth spot in the East or West. He is that good. He impacts winning on such a high level. You need one of those guys in New York. And they're one of the teams that has that space available, but there's also a lot of other teams that have way more talent in their foundation already and have just as much money to spend, and it doesn't cost as much money to live there as it does in New York City.
And then I want to add the opposite end of the spectrum, because to me, the Boston Celtics and Danny Ainge have become an abject story of American greed. It has never been enough for Danny Ainge. I mean, let's go back.
Yeah.
You get Jason Tatum. Wow, they got a great pick, great trade with Fultz. Oh, now they got Gordon Hayward also. Well, Tatum and Hayward, they're going to be great. Well, now they got Kyrie Irving, so they're going to be great, albeit with the injuries. And even now, with this team they have, with Irving, with Hayward, with Brown, with Tatum, with Rozier, with Smart and everything, it's as if they're in this holding pattern, because unless they get, you know, Anthony Davis, it's not complete. Should Danny Ainge just reach a point and play his hand? And is this getting way too convoluted where he keeps going, oh, one more, just one more thing? Do you think maybe it's time that Boston just played to win in the moment?
Well, I think they are, and I think the pressure's on them this year. I think that they do need to win this year. Last year they got the pass because the guys were too young and they were just coming together. And then you have the injuries to Hayward and the injuries to Irving. But this year they don't get that pass. I think the pressure is on Boston now. But I also think Danny Ainge got plenty more up his sleeve. I wouldn't be shocked if he's playing a long game on this one and he doesn't go out and get Anthony Davis.
Hmm.
And he doesn't sign Kyrie Irving. I don't think you can give a guy who's got the knee troubles that Kyrie Irving has a 5-year max deal and base your team around him with all the other pieces that you've got to pay in the next couple of years. So, I think the Celtics are capable just as much as any other team in the East to come out and win it this year and go play the Warriors, if that's indeed what happens. But I also think that Danny Ainge has set this up for something up his sleeve this summer.
All right, Jared, you'll be out there covering All-Star Weekend. What's on the cards for NBA TV, and what are you going to be doing out there?
Well, we just got off the air doing one of our Friday shows, and then we'll be back on recapping the Rising Stars Challenge and all the other festivities that took place tonight at 11:30 Eastern tonight on NBA TV.
Double shift. Very impressive.
Go and check that out.
Sure.
NBA TV with all your All-Star Weekend coverage. Appreciate the time.
Thanks, Jared.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, that's Jerry Greenberg joining us here on WQAM. The other thing, too, when it comes to that, the whole free agent picture is, I mean, every draft lottery feels like it's this momentous because,
right.
you know, Philly has been up at the top of the draft with all the picks that they've acquired, and then Boston having Brooklyn's picks. It feels like every lottery is momentous. But if Knicks get one, if the New York Knicks end up with the number one pick in the draft, or even if New Orleans end up with the number one pick in the draft,
sure.
like, there's so many things that could happen in the lottery. I mean, You're looking
Cleveland or just
Cleveland. No, there's two teams that just can't. Cleveland and Phoenix, just no.
But I'm just
Phoenix
saying,
doesn't deserve it because they've somehow remained this bad. They're the worst record in the league
Cleveland
again.
Cleveland always wins the lottery.
I know.
I mean, and this year they're not going to pick Anthony Bennett.
I think Chicago would be interesting because even though they hate their franchise now, like if Zion came, it's all right. We're you know, like Zion on the Bulls would be fun. But I think Atlanta would be fun. I think New Orleans is again for the trade purposes. Like, oh, we've got the number one pick in the draft. Now impress us with your Anthony Davis offers, and they might be, you know, ready to go from day one. Again, I think once you get after 10, it's not really.
I think it's a top five draft. I think it's the three Duke players. I think it's Morant.
No, I'm just saying, like, who could win the lottery that would be the most interesting?
It's New York by a country mile because of what they have and the cap space and the possibility.
If you're Kevin Durant. Do you want, obviously, it'd be you in a suit. Let's say it's you and a superstar. You've got to figure it out. Do you want the number one pick to be traded for something, or do you want to try and run with Zion Williamson?
I know. This kid is so intriguing. You're talking about the age factor. Look, I thought the Knicks were perfectly set up with Porzingis cap space and a lottery pick. I thought they had the three things now. Now they could have a lottery pick and two cap spaces, and it might turn into nothing because, again, you're looking at the lottery and saying, do you want to play with the kid or are you going to flip him like the Wiggins deal with Cleveland? But it's like the Knicks have to have so many things go right to save that from being, like Jared Greenberg said, a dumpster fire.
All right, Chris Whittingham, Ira Winderman, want to continue talking some NBA next year on QAM. Oh, oh,
oh, O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Oh, 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 O'Reilly. Auto Parts.